طبعا هذا ابن أختي نضال أبو شدوف.
That is Jamal Azbidi speaking, who is a former prominent member of the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. He is describing the pictures on his wall from his living room, which are of the four family members he has lost to the Israeli Defense Forces, or the IDF. His living room, like many others in the Hawashin district of the Jenin refugee camp, has its walls blown out. Jamal actually fared better than many of his other neighbors, as his own life was spared during the invasion, and his house is still standing. Not more than a dozen yards or so from his home is what Jenin residents call Ground Zero, a residential area of about 15 city blocks completely leveled by the IDF. The invasion was first launched on April 3rd. During the weeks that followed the invasion, the world first began to learn about the details of what was a long battle. The 9 days of intense fighting left 55 Palestinians dead, the majority of whom were civilians, with 22 Israeli soldiers dying during the invasion. Between 3,000 and 4,000 people were left homeless, while nearly 1,000 homes were destroyed or made uninhabitable by the invasion. The sounds of F-16s overhead and guns being shot still fill the air each night in the Jenin refugee camp, but it was not even a month ago that Jenin was a bustling town, with the narrow alleys between its cinder block homes being filled with children playing in the streets. The first reports from journalists who went to the camp after the invasion called it a silent wasteland, where instead of children playing, the stench of rotting corpses now filled the narrow alleys. Omahand al-Zanrani expressed her anger and dismay about the situation she has found herself in, without a home, and in the refugee camp she has been forcefully exiled to for over 5 decades.
They didn't have any mercy. They didn't believe in God. Look what the Israeli army doing with us, and they looking without
anything. Residents have differed in the ways they have chosen to deal with the trauma of losing their home. Some have opted to sign up to live in the tent city being erected by the United Nations Relief Works Assistance Program. Many others are living with family members in Jenin City or in other parts of the refugee camp that were not leveled. But some, such as several elderly residents I spoke to, have chosen to take a stand of sorts by living in self-made tents that have been erected right on Ground Zero. As they explained to me, they have been made refugees twice over, once in 1948, and another time now, in 2002. I asked Hassan Abu Idad how he was going to deal with the trauma of losing his home.
He cannot speak what he feels. He pray to God, only to God to help him. Yes, he wants his own house with his own neighbors, as usually, as he live in it. About 45 years he live in this house, and he is one of his neighbors.
The invasion of Jenin was only one of over 24 operations launched during what the Israeli government called Operation Defensive Shield, ostensibly a mission to root out terrorism. Israeli officials have noted many times the fact that 28 suicide bombers have hailed from Jenin. Residents of Jenin, however, including our translator, strongly objected to this official pretext for aggression.
Israel says that he looking about terrorism. But look here. Here about this camp, about 13,000 people living in it. All of them terrorism. About a half now their houses is destroyed, and they run away from the camp because they destroyed their houses. All of them is terrorism. You cannot believe something like that. If we are here in Jenin camp, also in Palestine, all of us refugees, we want our freedom, our own state. We want to be to take our state with our own government like a human being.
More than half of the Palestinian fatalities during the invasion were civilians. I spoke to the Ahmad Saba family, who lost a number of its relatives during Israeli incursions, including the April invasion. The victims from the Ahmad Saba family were apolitical and not part of any group.
One of them, his name is Ziyad, another is Arafat. She says if they didn't belong to any group, only civilians, they work all the time in building, and they didn't, if they killed them, out of the house, is not they killed them in between her eyes. And now when I ask her, she remember that she started to cry.
During the invasion, IDF soldiers used U.S.-supplied tanks and Apache helicopters to penetrate the camp, while soldiers carefully moved from house to house, in many cases illegally forcing Palestinians to be used as human shields to perform some of the most dangerous of tasks. This practice was deplored by human rights groups such as Human Rights Watch, which noted in its recent comprehensive investigation of the invasion that this was far from the first time such a practice has been undertaken by the IDF. As early as the third day of the invasion, Human Rights Watch also reported that helicopters started firing missiles into the camp, often striking civilian homes where no Palestinian fighters were even present. Civilian deaths like these seem to have a particular effect on children who have lost one or both of their parents and are subsequently led to feelings of anger, despair, and hopelessness. Some seek revenge, such as 11-year-old Mutsim Ahmad Sabah.
He says that he will take revenge.
Really? How will he do that?
He says when the time comes, he do how.
Children like these often turn armed resistance groups such as the Islamic group Hamas. Jamal Abu Al-Hijja is one of the local leaders of the Hamas group in Jenin. I spoke with him only days after his house was surrounded by Israeli troops looking to arrest and or kill him. His 14-year-old son, Assam, explained that the troops ordered his family outside and set the house on fire after finding Mr. Al-Hijja was not there. Al-Hijja had the following to say about the typical profile of Hamas suicide bombers.
People or the men, young men that did his operation inside of Israel, range of his old from 18 to 20, and they have excellent enthusiasm.
Meanwhile, Jenin residents have decided to rebuild Ground Zero and to carry on in the resistance against the occupation despite continued incursions since April's invasion. The repair efforts for Jenin are just now underway, and only minimal advances, such as the recent restoration of sewage and electricity, have been achieved. According to Lex Tackenberg, the emergency director of the United Nations Relief Works Assistance Program, and also the local Jenin community leaders, it will be another year and a half until everything can be restored back to normal. But for many Palestinians, such as our Jenin-based translator, the memories will continue to linger on, just like the memories of 1948.
The Israelis took our land, took all what, and now they destroyed also our camp. This is another Nakba to us.
What does Nakba mean? Catastrophe, right?
Yeah.
The catastrophe in 1948, no?
Yeah. This is now also another transfer.
How many transfers do you think they'll do until they stop?
With Sharon government, no, they didn't have any hope with the Sharon government like that. Because you see in your eyes what he make here in the camp.